post-traumatic stress is best known as a problem for military veterans, but it also affects lots of other people who have faced trauma in their lives. And for people coping with the symptoms, sometimes the best resources are other people with PTSD. Those are some aspects of PTSD that Kimberly Resch highlights in her new documentary, Light in the Darkness, Living Well After Trauma. The Wisconsin native is executive producer of the film, which had its Green Bay premiere last night. She joined us yesterday from our Green Bay studio. Kimberly, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Can you talk about why you and your colleagues tackled this very important issue of PTSD in this documentary?
Well, there was, I would venture to say there was a lot of different reasons, one of which was a personal journey, and then the others was every person I was talking to had their own story. And although they didn't all turn into post-traumatic stress disorder, they were feeling the stressors, and it was leading to differences in behaviors for people. So I was actually talking with them about the symptoms of the things they were having, and nobody was really talking about what created those symptoms to begin with. So we took a deeper dive, and of course, we at Conscious Content are really into humanitarian issues, and one of which is mental health. The fact that it affects 1 in 5 people across the United States, that was a really staggering number for most of us. And although those numbers are considerably less for PTSD themselves, like 8 out of 100, it was a conversation that we were finding nobody was having, not at work, not within the EMS. They have an influx of people who have issues, but they're not actually talking about what PTSD is or how they've gotten it to get to the root problem. So at the end of the day, we were looking for solutions. Like, we're reverse engineering. We're like, okay, there's PTSD, but how did that become a thing? Now, most of the people associate PTSD with like a Vietnam vet.
Right.
That's probably the biggest thing, or Soldier's Heart. And of course, they were exposed to massive amounts of trauma, and that makes perfect sense. But it's highly documented, right? It's the other ways that people get PTSD that nobody really talks about. And it could be like from something as small from the outside that looks like a car accident. You know, there's trauma. Like, I have a lot of different smaller triggers that people see, and they're like, gosh, why is she like that? Well, I guess if you're in a car accident and you were in a coma and you maybe don't remember the whole thing, but whatever, and you slam on your brakes, or somebody in the driver's seat slams on their brakes, that your cells don't forget. And we talked to some therapists last night, ironically, at dinner, and they were talking about your cells remember everything you've been exposed to. And so just the fact that your frontal lobe or your brain or your normal beta brain state is not processing it every minute, your body remembers. So when you go into a specific situation that you weren't even planning on being in because it was a surprise, your body knows exactly how to react to it. And in that reaction where your cortisol levels are so high and you go into a fight or flight, basically, which most of us have experienced when we've been scared, if those feelings are not filed properly in your brain, the way that your body knows how to process them or should process them in a perfect situation, you end up with post-traumatic stress, which is normal. It turns into a disorder or into a condition, I guess, more than a disorder, because at the end of the day, you've not processed it. Your brain doesn't know where to file them. And that is what Dr. King was speaking about in our film. And that's what Dr. Seahorn speaks about in our film, is if you don't really know what it is and you don't know how to file it immediately, it goes kind of floating around in your brain matter. And when you're exposed to something else, at the end of the day, that trigger comes, and you could be speaking to somebody at work. They say something, it triggers you, and all of a sudden your mood changes.
And Kimberly, I want to jump in. You share a lot of stories from people dealing with post-traumatic stress. Some who, as you mentioned, were deployed to active duty military. Some people, sexual assault survivors, other cases. Can you talk a little bit about how that affects them in their daily lives?
Well, I think it's different for every person. And that's the one thing that we want to hit home, especially all of our doctors that have been our medical board for this, because we wanted to make sure things were accurate and we were portraying real information to people. What happens is every expert that we interviewed said every person is going to deal with even the same situation in a different way based off of all of the experiences they've had since they were born or even before then. So knowing that, really personalized healthcare is super important, especially in the medical health arena, where people really learn to ask the right, like healthcare professionals learn to ask the right questions so that way they can understand. But in our film, Dr. Tony Seahorn, he reacts differently. He reacted in, well, he'll be the first person to say, I mean, he didn't know why he was angry. He couldn't literally, I think in the film even says, you can't run away from yourself. Like, you're having these things that are happening to you and you're running away from yourself. And then Mike Vassens, who's actually a Green Bay native, who's amazing. He works for our sponsor, ironically, KI, who's taken a really beautiful interest in mental health. They have an amazing wellness program through KI, which I believe house about 900 employees just in the Green Bay area. They're quite large. And at the end of the day, Mike Vassens was able, even though his story was really hard on him, to talk about it publicly. Which even to this day, he may come tonight, he may not, but he just wanted people to know that they're not alone. And that was really important. And he was an Afghani veteran. We do have some other people like Dr. John King, who took all of his trauma from when he was like 2 on, which was one of the worst stories I've ever heard in my entire existence, and turned it into a book. One of them is No Working Title, and the other one is Deal With It. And in those books, he gives people tools. If you feel like this, this is what you should try. And some of those tools are as simple as just make your bed. Like, just wake up and make your bed.
Hmm. I want to give a listen to John King, one of the people whose stories you share in the documentary. At one point, he says he experienced a recall of his trauma while he was leading a church congregation. He assembled some members to talk about it. And I want to give a listen to what he said about their reaction.
They automatically jump to conclusions. And because of the stigma attached to mental illness, they just judged me. They just cast aspersions and judgment, came to conclusions about what I would do, what I wouldn't do, what I wasn't able to cope with. I think they stopped seeing me. They stopped seeing me try. They saw a broken person, which wasn't necessarily the case. But if you're told that all the time, then they come to believe that. And I think, you know, people have a difficulty processing things.
And that, it seems like, is part of the mission of your film, not just awareness of PTSD, but also breaking down some of the stigma that surrounds it. Can you talk about that?
Yes, actually, stigma is probably, stigma is one of the most important key elements of what we're trying to do, because at Conscious Content, we create awareness and education. And so what we're finding is that something profound happens when people are educated. And so even with our premiere that's going to be happening, all of those people that are in there, half of them may be professional, half of them might need help. We don't know, but both of them are going to receive the same message. And that is going to be that there's always hope for PTSD. It isn't necessarily a disorder. It's really a condition that happens from an abnormal situation you've been through. Your brain is really just trying to process through it, and it's going to be different for everyone. And so breaking the stigma, having our police and our fire EMS workers not feel uncomfortable to try to get help after they've seen a tragic event, which they can get what's called complex or compound PTSD, which is the layering effect. Human trafficking victims also receive PTSD, complex PTSD, because they are reintegrated into a violent situation on a regular basis. And that works a little bit differently than that. And one of our panelists this evening, Jennifer Jamison, she works with human trafficking victims. And Sherry Lindberg, who's a highly accredited therapist, is going to educate us on brain spotting, which has also been in the film and has a really high efficacy rate. And the people that have had therapy that we know is effective, those people are learning that their disease, if you will, or their current situation is not how they're going to end their story. And that is part of what our mission at Conscious Content is.
Talking to Kimberly Resch, executive producer of the new documentary Light in the Darkness, about PTSD and treatment and recovery. And something that really struck me, Kimberly, so many of the people you profile in the documentary, not only dealing with their own issues, not only finding ways to heal, but also then reaching out to be, I think they use the phrase, a light in the darkness, exactly the title of your documentary, to other people, to reach out and not just help themselves, but others. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. We feature, there's quite a few people, and we have 4 women from Wisconsin themselves. Brenna Ng Rankin is one of them, and she was domestic and sexual abuse survivor. Her story is incredible. She's going to be on our panel tonight, but the amount of education that she's self-educating, it's been a 6-year ordeal for her for doing the right thing to help protect and to save her daughter. So you have to decide that if you're... Sorry.
That's okay. Take a moment.
I think what happens when you get to know these people, you realize how brave they are.
Yeah. I took that away from this too. It is a really powerful moment when they share the ways they help others. Kimberly, as people watch this, and I hope a lot of people do watch it, what are you hoping they take away and share with others about maybe their own PTSD?
I think the level of awareness of whether you have it or not probably is the biggest cornerstone from a movie like this that creates education awareness. I've also noticed that I receive hundreds of messages a week from people, and they have told their stories. And I get emotional because,
of course,
so many people are suffering and no one's talking about it. So when you make a film like this, you have to put yourself out there. You hope that someone becomes a light in your darkness. I'm so sorry.
No. How could you not? How could you not feel like that after all these stories you've seen and told?
There's just so many amazing stories out there. There's so many strong people, and we just need to remove the stigma. It's really important to have hard conversations with your kids, with our law enforcement, with our teachers, with our friends. So many college students are suffering right now, and nobody's talking about it. So if you could just help us to start to create a conversation, I think that will be really huge for everyone.
Kimberly, thank you so much for sharing this with us today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Kimberly Rush, executive producer of the documentary about post-traumatic stress disorder, Light in the Darkness, Living Well After Trauma. We talked to her yesterday ahead of the film's Green Bay premiere last night.